Farzi Vasugian here with you for another episode of Farzcast. Farzcast 110. It is spring season. It is March Madness. A lot of you guys probably on spring break, or maybe spring break is ending for a lot of you. Nonetheless, appreciate all of you guys taking time to download and listen to this episode of Farzcast. For those of you watching live on Facebook, on my page, on Melody's page, appreciate you guys joining us as well. Melody McAllister joining me for this episode of Farzcast. Melody, how are you doing today on St. Patrick's Day?
I am doing great. I'm having a fabulous day. I'm ending my spring break. I go back to work tomorrow. But I just got, do you guys go to indoor malls? We go to indoor malls in Alaska.
Hardly ever. Oh, look at that.
And this is what I score. Yes. And this, I'm so excited.
Oh.
I was like, do you guys have jewelry? Do you have earrings? And they're like, no. And I'm like, you should try it. You should get those.
That's awesome. Yeah. I got the Super Bowl 58 Patrick Mahomes jersey. But I had to return it because on the back of the nameplate, on the Mahomes nameplate, there's like a weird smear on the on the jersey. So I had to get in touch with good old Fanatics. But they were very nice. They're exchanging it, but they're taking forever because everybody and their grandmother is ordering a Patrick Mahomes jersey. Right. So good old.
I didn't.
You know what's funny?
I have one, but I don't have a Super Bowl one.
In 2020, it is becoming like a very expensive hobby now. It is very expensive to be a Chiefs fan because every year we're just buying Super Bowl merchandise at this point, which I guess those are good problems to have. You know what's funny? In 2020, the running joke was, two running jokes. One, if the Chiefs ever won the Super Bowl, the world would come to an end. And that's kind of what happened in 2020. And in 2020, in January, people were buying Chiefs AFC Championship merchandise. In February, people were buying Super Bowl merchandise. And then in March and April, everybody was buying Clorox and Lysol sprays.
Face masks.
Yes. You can't ever forget those face masks. But let's get away from that topic. Go ahead.
I will say, we just celebrated our fifth year here in Alaska, and like this last week. And on the same day in my Facebook memories that we spent our first day in Anchorage, our first night in Anchorage, a year after that was when everything shut down.
That is wild.
Yeah.
How old was your youngest when that started?
He came over right after we turned one. So he was two. Yeah.
How do you explain to a two-year-old what in the hell is going on?
I mean, it didn't really matter to him. I mean, that's when all those videos on my TikTok that went viral, those are him singing. And like, we were all together. That's why I had so many videos of him.
Oh, boy. Because I remember
family time.
I remember going into like a Walmart at the time and I see like a 4-year-old or a 5-year-old with a mask. I'm like,
yeah,
does this kid think this is just normal? Like, because they don't. That's like probably your first time actually like being able to have like a recollection of things. And I don't know, I that's something I thought about back then. I'm just glad I'm not a parent, especially at that time, because Jesus Christ, I don't know. Props to all the parents out there that had to explain this to their kids.
All the parents.
Yes.
And, you know, the kids, I think, adjusted to it a little bit better when it came to masks than our adults that are, you know.
I think that is a very safe assumption, to say the least. What is spring break like for a teacher? Because I imagine on a Friday, I don't know when spring break ends for elementary kids. I think it's different from high school and college kids. Mm-hmm. I think in college it was only 1 week, but in high school, middle, and elementary, I think you got a week plus two extra days before. How was it for you?
Well, see, everybody in our school district has the same week off. I loved it. I mean, cannabis is legal here, and I mean, I didn't do anything that I didn't want to do this week. I slept in. I mean, you are looking at a fresh face teacher. I can't wait to go back to school tomorrow. I'm so excited. I literally canceled anything that was going to stress me out. So I am very happy. I'm ready to go back. I'm really refreshed. I feel like we should be inserting these week breaks like along the school year and everybody would be better for it.
Yeah.
But like, and you know, it's spring break here, but one of my friends lives, you know, further inland in Alaska. We're all still covered with snow. We're finally entering breakup season. Like it's 40 degrees here today and it will be like in the upper 30s all this week. So snow's going to keep melting. but it's still, we're still completely covered with snow and there's still ice. We have to be careful, you know. I fell on my back a few weeks ago at work. It was horrible because I slid on the ice. Yeah, but I mean, it's so it's really snowy here, but I do feel a sense of spring, you know. I mean, I'm wearing green, it's St. Patrick's, but I'm very happy. So you're looking at a happy person.
Nice, nice. That is good.
What about
being
you?
Happy is good.
It is.
Honestly, life has been wild. Because like right after the Super Bowl ended, it's funny. I don't like to get into it publicly because I know people people just act weird on the internet about like personal things, like people's jobs and whatnot. And people think I do this for a living, like full time when I don't. Long story short, we our warehouse, we changed warehouses, which I'll say this now. Moving from one home to another is I would rather move from one warehouse to another. It takes a long, damn long time, but it's much easier to do. Whereas like with a house, you know, you're going up the steps with heavy furniture and shit and hell no to that. So that took up a lot of time. I'll tell you right now. So ever since the week of the Super Bowl, I don't think I've like been able to relax on a Saturday and Sunday for a very long time. I mean, last weekend I didn't work, but I was at Comic-Con and I was on my feet all day. I don't mind being on my feet all day, and then we can get into that later. I had a blast. Nerd, talk about a nerdy event. First time ever. It was awesome, but I was on my feet all day.
Did you dress up?
Oh, hell no.
I thought you were going to say, hell yeah.
I don't mind being on my feet, but I have to be moving. But when you're in line to like see a celebrity and you're just like, you know, standing in place for a long time, that's when, you know, a guy with two knee surgeries, that can play a role sometimes.
Wait,
so,
you've had two knee surgeries?
Yeah, I know.
You
I'm old.
So young. What? My what knee, in the hell? Did not expect that.
Yeah, my knees are not. Yeah, I tore my ACL years ago playing softball, of all things, in college. It was basketball, and then softball just made it worse. And then I had to get knee surgery last summer. It wasn't like anything major. It was actually very, very minor. I was able to like walk 8 hours later. So wasn't that bad.
That's because of your youth. That's youth right there. Because believe me, if I had knee surgery, I would not be walking 8 hours early. Okay. I need to know, who did you stay in line to get their autograph? And if you were going to dress up, because I thought people dressed up for these things, what would you, if you had the balls to dress up, what would you dress up as? Who
See,
would you dress up
like? I am a massive Final Fantasy fan, but getting like cosplay outfits for those characters are impossible to find. There was I was in line for John Bernthal. Have you ever watched The Walking Dead, Melody?
My son loves it. No, I have not.
Okay. So John Bernthal, who was on The Walking Dead for a couple of seasons, and then he went on to Marvel to do The Punisher, who he's been awesome in that role. I was in line for him. There was a kid in line who dressed up as Carl from The Walking Dead, who was a kid on the show. I think he's in his 20s now, but he had like a very simplistic outfit. He had the cowboy hat. He had the plaid shirt, the eye patch, because Carl loses his eye at one point in the show. So I'm like, okay, that's a very creative and very simple thing to do. If I had to dress up as someone, I don't know. If I had to dress up as somebody, wow, that's a very good question. I have no idea. I guess, like, because I have a goatee, Walter White, I might be able to pull that off from Breaking Bad.
I know who Walter White is.
Yes. I'll say this right now. I was going into it expecting everyone to dress up and everyone to have, like, nerdy, you know, outfits and whatnot. I was in line to get into the place on Friday. It was a three-day event. I went Friday and Sunday. The people in front of me were a couple older than my parents. And then when I went to be in line for Henry Winkler, it was not the nerdy crowd. It was mostly people that actually loved Henry's work. It was actually really cool. Have you ever heard of Matthew Lillard, Melody?
Okay. Wait, no, but can we go back to Henry Winkler?
Yeah, please? Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
So when I saw that picture with you with Mr. Winkler, I was so, we've got to try to get him on this podcast. I bet you anything we could get him to come on. And here's the thing. I have been obsessed with Royal Pains, which was, it's on Netflix. And it's 8 seasons long. And you know, it like ended in 2016. So it's been gone for a while. But Henry Winkler plays the guy's dad on that show. And I finished that show last Sunday. And I have been in mourning ever since, because I felt like these people were my family, because this is how for the last month that I unwound, I watched Royal Pains. It is such a good show. And Henry Winkler was on it, and he added such a good character. So when I saw you, I was so excited that you got to meet him. And I know he's a Chiefs fan, so we should totally try to get him on here.
Yeah, we should. Easier said than done, but
we can do it.
We'll figure it. We'll try.
Tag, oh my God, we need to tag him on Twitter.
We will try. No promises on that. You make it sound like, you know, it's just a snap of a finger. He comes on.
Henry Winkler would love to be on this show. I have a feeling he would love it, and we would have such a good time. And if he comes on, we have to play like a game with him. We'll have to make up a game, and then, yeah. But anyway, Henry Winkler, if you're watching or you're listening, because I tagged you on Twitter, we love you. We want you to come on our show, and it will be so much fun. Yes. And now you can tell me about Matthew Lillard.
Oh, I don't even know who Matthew Lillard is, but he was one of the celebrities there. He had a huge, so this was the 25th anniversary of Planet Comic Con, but there were a lot of people in line to see him. There were a lot of voiceover actors there. I should clarify on that. So if you watch like an animated show, like, I'm trying to think of like Lion King, for example. You probably watch it, maybe not knowing who the voices are. You just enjoy the content, the movie. But there are a lot of voiceover actors who are there. I'm not familiar with Matthew Lillard's work. Apparently, he was Shaggy in Scooby-Doo. So if you're a Scooby-Doo fan.
Oh, yeah.
He had probably the longest line of the weekend, and there were a lot of people pissed because they never got to see him. In fact, Saturday was an insane day. The line for people who had to pick up their wristbands, I was able to pick up my wristband beforehand. They give you that option. But if you didn't, Saturday there was a line all around the building. And because it was too big, they kind of had to do the double barrel line, where then they go the opposite direction and you're next to people who are also in line, but going in the opposite direction of you, if that makes sense. It was a wild. I saw that outside the building driving by. I'm like, I thought that was a line to get in. No, I'll say this. I don't know if Comic-Con. I'm sure Comic-Cons, I mean, they're everywhere. And I was very surprised. Like, there were four other Comic-Cons going on in the U.S. When at the same time as the Kansas City one. If you ever get a chance to go. And get a fast pass. Yes, they're pricey, but very well worth it. So you can meet everyone that you would like to meet. It definitely blew my expectation. Here's the other thing. Here's what makes it so cool. I mean, listen, it's an expensive event when you want to meet someone, because you have to pay if you want a picture or an autograph or both. So they have to be nice to you, but everybody was just so cool to talk to. Everyone gave you the time of day, even if their lines were long. Henry, going back to Henry, when I was in line for Henry, he would leave his booth like every 10 minutes just to like say hi to everyone and thank them for waiting in line, because you know he knows that lines suck. So I'm just like, that's cool. Like, and
he's so awesome. And he was the Fonz. I grew up watching him on Happy Days.
Yeah,
the reruns. I'm not as old as like my grandparents, and my parents loved it, and so I watched it because it was still on, like, you know. But we're going to get Henry Winkler on. He seems like such an amazing stand-up guy. Henry Winkler, we love you.
I do have
He like on something that would, what would make him be on Comic Cons? I thought that was for like superheroes or some sort.
I mean, that is kind of like the theme of the event. I don't think he was ever in like a superhero movie or show. It's just, they just try to get famous actors.
I love that.
Yeah, I know Chuck Norris does a lot of these.
Oh my God, I love Chuck Norris too. We need to get him on. I know so many Chuck Norris jokes.
There were actually a couple actors I felt terrible, but they hardly had a line. So I was like, while I'm in line for Henry Winkler, I was actually looking over to the person next to him who had like nobody. And I'm just like Googling him. And he's just like, you know, when you watch a movie and they're like in a restaurant and then the waiter comes in and that actor is only there for like 10 seconds for the entire movie. This guy's role was essentially roles like that in so many movies and shows. Oh, by the way, I grew up. Do your kids watch Power Rangers?
I was going to say something about Power Rangers. I was literally going to say, if I went, who would I dress up? And the thing that came to my mind was the pink Power Rangers. That's what I was going to dress up as.
Well, I loved...
If I had the balls to.
I loved Mighty Morphin growing up, so I know a lot of those actors, and they do a lot of these events. There was a Power Ranger there, but he was not, like, from the old school Power Rangers. He was from, like, years later. And I was just, like, walking by his booth. He had nobody in line, and he has, like, all these, like... toys and collectibles, and I was just like looking at his table, and there was a person next to me also looking, and he looks up from his backpack. He's like, oh, hi, hey, what's going on? I'm like, hey. And I just like, I'm like, shit, this guy.
Do you have to pay to talk to him?
You don't have to pay to talk to him. It's funny, I was in line for Jamie Kennedy. I don't know if you've seen Malibu's Most Wanted. There was a girl behind me. She did not want a picture or an autograph. She just wanted to hug Jamie Kennedy. So I don't think they charge you for hugging someone or talking to them. But if you want an autograph, they have a lot of their 8x10s. You can also bring your own 8x10. So if you have like the Incredible Hulk, if you happen to have like the toy box of the Incredible Hulk or a Funko Pop, they can sign it, but they would still charge you the same amount. If you want a picture, that's separate. If you want to do a combo, they'll cut you out. They'll cut you a deal of some sort.
This is kind of trashy though. So they pay, you have to pay an out of the ass just to go to this event. And then you have to pay and pay and pay and pay just to get a picture with these people.
Well, I mean, and depending on the celebrity, how famous they are. So Ian McDiarmid was there from Star Wars and Jon Bernthal from The Walking Dead. Those were like the two. And then there was somebody from Marvel, Paul Bettany, who plays Vision. I guarantee you, Paul Bettany was only there for one day, but I guarantee you all three of them made six figures that weekend.
That's kind of trashy, I think.
That's the thing, like, it is a very expensive event to attend. So, and it's for those who have never attended and want to go in the future, bring cash with you because a lot of these people only accept cash.
I would totally pay cash to hug and get a picture with Henry Winkler.
I don't think Henry Winkler would charge you for a hug.
But I would pay him anyway.
He was super, super nice. Like, I don't know if you've ever met someone where within like 5 minutes, you meet someone and you're like, wow, this person is genuine. You can just tell they're genuinely nice all the time. Mm-hmm. That was Henry Winkler. Like, I was just like, damn, this guy's probably super nice all the time. You can just tell.
Yeah.
So that was
pretty cool.
He does
look like sunshine. He really does. He looks like sunshine. When he smiles, it's just sunshine.
You were at a conference recently, like a big teaching conference.
I was in Chicago.
Yeah. Well, what was that like?
It was cool. I got to see some of my friends that I used to travel quite a bit, and now I haven't been traveling. So I got to see a lot of my friends that I hadn't seen for a while. But teachers go to conferences too, and I got to speak at it, present anyway, and that was really fun. I love it when I'm about to present and the energy of the room. Like, here's how I know that the energy is good. Like, I greet everybody who's coming in, and I make that contact. And like, I'm like, hey guys, just come to the front. I didn't ask anybody to come to the front this time, but when grown people actually come to the front, when I say, hey, come on to the front, you know, I didn't have to on this time because everybody sat pretty close. But it's just so much fun. And we talk about, like, the thing that I talk about a lot is about, you know, teaching to the whole child, which means looking at a student as a whole person. And the thing I start out is, when you accept yourself as a whole person, and this goes to anybody, not just a teacher, but like when you define yourself by one thing, you know, you're not that one thing. Our students aren't just our students. Our students are so many other things as well. And so if we don't keep that in mind, it's harder to educate somebody that you're not thinking as a whole person, if that makes any sense. And I love it because my presentation style is to ask all the experts in the room. I'm not the only educator in the room. Everybody has something to offer. And so they shared, oh my gosh, it was so amazing. And it's called IdeaCon. Oh, crazy. It's IdeaCon, and it's in Schaumburg, Illinois. I get a shout out to IdeaCon. And by the end, because everybody shared so much, we all feel like we're friends, you know? And I'm so excited. I get to go to another conference. It's called ISTE in Denver. And then I'm going to spend, oh my God, Farzin, here's what's going to happen. It's in Denver. And then I'm going to go stay with my friends in Kansas, and we're going to go to a Royals game in July. And I plan on meeting you.
Okay, well, hold on.
You're going to go to the Royals game.
When in July?
Are you going to be in Mexico, Farzin?
As of right now, I don't have anything planned. When in
don't
July? Well, hold on.
Go. Okay, it'll be the depends. First week in July.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Farzin.
Look at your face. No promises. We'll see. We'll see.
No promises. I'm literally coming from Alaska to your area of the world.
I feel
better make some promises.
I feel bad because you were in Kansas a year or
yes,
two ago. But you were like all the way in Ulysses, Kansas. I'm not driving 6 hours and then 6 hours back.
We're driving from Ulysses to go to a game.
Okay, well, let me know the exact day, and hopefully I'll be here.
Keep that first week of July open, please. Keep the last week of June open.
The last week of June might be easier than the first week of July. I'll say that right now.
Yeah, well, Farzin, I would, go to Vegas. Like, I love Vegas. How is it that we both love Vegas so much, and we've never been there?
I was going to go for my birthday, but tickets are super expensive and there are a shit ton of conferences there. If there are a bunch of conferences happening the week you want to go to Vegas, don't go to Vegas. So I'm going the following week. We're like right after Memorial Day weekend. I'm just checking the Royal schedule.
Oh my gosh, you should. I didn't even do that. And I thought about if I miss them, then I'm going to go to when they play the Mariners. The next time, if I don't get to see them this summer in Kansas City, I'm definitely going to go see when they are playing the Mariners because that's close enough as well.
I don't know why.
I haven't seen the Royals play, God, in so long. I love, what is it? Oh, God. What's the field called?
Kauffman.
I knew it was a K. Like, I could see it in my mind. I have so many good memories at Kauffman Stadium.
Well, when was the last time you were at Kauffman Stadium?
Probably the early 2000s.
Okay, well, it has changed a lot.
You're right. It was right after some of the first renovations when they first became super family friendly. It was at least 10 years before they won the World Series. I know I had gone to a couple of games where they were playing the Cardinals and there were more Cardinals fans.
Oh, that is very common. So you were not.
But I'm like in my blue. I'm like, yeah.
So the last time you attended a Royals game, they did not have seats in the fountain areas because they do now.
No.
Yeah.
It did not.
Oh, yeah. Kauffman's changed a lot over the years. Anyway, I'm looking at the schedule right now. So June 24th all the way to July 4th, they're in town. So they're going to be in town for almost a week and a half.
Okay.
So do one of the June games because I can make a promise for that.
Okay. I will. I think my conference actually starts on June 24th, but it's over by the end. Anyway, we'll figure it out, and I will for sure. Well, that's when we'll go.
Speaking of the Royals, I think this is a perfect
segue.
And
you'll be paying for all the alcohol, right?
That definitely no promises. Speaking of the Royals, I think this is a perfect segue to this. So I don't know how much you have followed this, but the Royals and the Chiefs, their lease for the current stadiums that they're in, this is a huge misconception. A lot of people don't realize this. The Chiefs and the Royals do not own their stadiums. That is owned by the Jackson County Sports Authority Complex. Their lease for both the Royals and the Chiefs for the stadiums they're in, it ends in, I believe, 2031. And we have been hearing about this for quite some time, but the last couple of years we've heard a lot of talk about this, more so from the Royals' end. So the Royals actually want to leave the Truman Sports Complex. They want to go downtown. I don't know if you've seen renderings of this.
I have seen that, yeah.
They it's weird because when you're downtown, you can actually see the highway, but they actually want to cover the highway and make it a park, essentially. That's going to be a very interesting design, a park over a highway, like literally above a highway.
They've done that in Dallas, yeah.
Oh, okay. I just was not sure, architecturally how that kind of thing is doable, but yeah. I suppose. And then they have Kauffman Stadium on the south side of the highway, and on the north side is the T-Mobile Center. It was the Sprint Center, now it's T-Mobile Center. And then there's a weird bridge that goes from Kauffman to the T-Mobile Center. I don't know why anyone would need a bridge to go from the arena to the stadium, unless you're going to two events at once. Anyway, The Royals are 2 feet in on the idea of moving downtown. The Chiefs, they don't really want to do anything different. They want to stay where they are, but they want to renovate, and their renovation costs are estimated at $800 million. The Hunt family are willing to put in $300 million, and they want Jackson County taxpayers to pay for $500 million. And I'm telling you right now, outside, there's going to be like a big activity zone to replace Kauffman Stadium. That actually looks cool. But the upgraded video boards, the VIP entrances, the ride share, there's like several VIP entrances they're planning for. These things to me are not worth $500 million from taxpayers. And according to Mark Donovan, the president of the Chiefs, if Jackson County taxpayers vote no on April 2nd, Mark Donovan said, we have to explore leaving the idea of leaving Kansas City, Missouri. I don't know if he's talking about maybe going to Lee Summit, Missouri, Independence, Missouri, Kansas City, Kansas, or just leaving the entire Kansas City area in general. They were very vague on that part. But the idea that if people vote no, they might leave. I'm telling you right now, like, yes, the Chiefs are great right now.
That's
but
crazy.
But 7 years from now, we have no idea who's going to be good and who's going to be bad. Like, yeah, of course we hope Patrick Mahomes is still kicking ass in 7 years, but no one knows in 7 years what's going to happen. I'm telling you right now, unless the Chiefs are still playing at a very high level, where are you going to get the same level of fan support? In St. Louis?
Yeah.
Or, I mean, maybe, maybe Wichita. Maybe Wichita. But I just don't envision the Chiefs, like, leaving. You really want to look, I'm telling you right now, this is an empty threat. This is their way of trying to get people to vote. It's not going to work. The upgrades are absolute garbage outside of the activity zone. I don't think this is worth $800 million. The Royals going downtown sounds like a cool idea, but they'd be replacing a lot of businesses there. And there are a lot of business owners that are not happy. The Royals claim they've been in a conversation with those business owners. Those business owners said that's not the case at all. So the Royals are pretty, and the mayor, listen, nice guy and all, but he's like, yeah, downtown stadiums looks cool. Okay, well, it looks cool, but it's going to cost you a shit ton of money, and you got a lot of people who are going to lose jobs because of this.
Yeah. How sad. I can't even imagine. I mean, not that it matters because I live in freaking Alaska. I could not imagine that. Oh my gosh, St. Louis Chiefs, number one. I could not imagine that, Bob.
The Wichita Chiefs.
I don't even think St. Louis likes the Chiefs. I feel like my friends from St. Louis are not the same as Chiefs Kingdom at all. So that's crazy. But I mean, even the Royals moving, that to me just, oh, that's sad. It breaks my heart.
What if they become the Des Moines Chiefs? the Little Rock Chiefs.
What?
Who cares about, like, the Oklahoma City Chiefs? I don't know. Like, I don't think they're leaving. And look, I want everyone in Jackson. Listen, I don't tell people how to vote. I don't care if it's for a politician or if it's for something as
I tell people
something
how to
like
vote.
This. Well,
I tell people how to vote all the time.
I hope people vote
now. Our democracy is hanging in the balance, y'all. Like, if you don't know that by now, I'll tell you how to vote. But I mean, as of April 2nd,
vote no,
I mean,
please.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
I think, look, listen, here's the problem. And as a teacher, I know you're going to back me on this. If you really want to talk about spending $800 million, the Arrowhead is fine the way it is. Okay. We can just replace Kauffman Stadium with more parking spots. Well, actually, if you vote no, I guess Kauffman Stadium is going to be there. So I take that back. That $800 million could seriously go towards education. It could go towards improving our roads.
Could you imagine having even like the Clark family's like, oh, we could, you know, fund $300 million of that. Could you imagine having that much money that you could say that? That's fucking crazy. I'm sorry. Is it okay that I said the F word? That's crazy.
You already did. It's like, hey, look at this emergency button. Can I push this? What is this emergency button?
You know what just happened? Our legislator here in Alaska, our state legislator, bipartisanly, if that is actually a word, a bipartisan movement to spend, it's called like more money for students. It's like the base pay level per student, which goes for teacher salaries, schools, everything that you can imagine, textbooks, everything. Our state legislator, you like together, 93% voted yes for this bill. It's called SB 140. And our governor freaking vetoed that for education. And one of the things that he said a couple of weeks ago, he said, you know, our students aren't even doing that great on tests. Why would we give them more money? As if I'm just, that's why.
You know what?
Cake. I mean, just the education aspect of all of this drives me crazy, but.
And I know we're going into multiple rabbit holes here, but I think, you know, it's a valid conversation to have here, because when you're thinking about, okay, what is this ultimate, like, how is a new stadium going to change our lives? It looks nice. It looks right. Beautiful. Like, it looks cool. But I don't really know if we need a new stadium. Here's the thing. I'm telling you right now, if the Chiefs want hundreds and millions of dollars, or maybe even more than $1 billion, get a brand new stadium with a roof so at least you can host Super Bowls, so you can host Final right. Fours. Make it worth something for the city in the long run. I'll say this, though, right now, because, and I don't want to get too off topic here, but when COVID was going on, the president signed a COVID relief bill that was more than $1 trillion. I don't remember the exact amount. And I know everyone has their opinions about COVID and everything, all that, but a COVID relief bill was signed for more than $1 trillion. I have been hearing for years that the government is not willing to put in money for schools in inner cities because they don't have the funds. Well, all of a sudden we have $1 trillion to spend on COVID relief. So,
right.
You know, I think we got to like understand in the long run. Yes, the Chiefs are awesome. And I can understand from the Chiefs standpoint, like if you're Clark Hunt, yeah, your team is doing awesome right now. You just won your third Super Bowl in 5 years. You just went back to back. You're on the verge of trying to three-peat. So the Chiefs have all of this momentum right now. If you see any of the commercials in town, they actually have players for in like a 30-second ad saying, hey, Kansas City, it's Patrick Mahomes. Vote yes so we can make championship moves. I really hope people don't buy that stuff. I really hope they don't, because we could spend that money on way. I mean, Clark Hunt's going to keep his 300, but let's spend our. I don't live in Jackson County, but let's spend our 500 on improving the city. Because go ahead.
I want to say that as somebody who loves the Chiefs, you and me, but to hear you say that, that's one of the reasons why I absolutely love you, Farzin. Because you are not so freaking out of your mind that you actually think it's a good idea. Because you're right. Like, what is that quote? Like, we don't have money to spend on, you know, people to have, you know, there are people in poverty, but we can spend all this in wars. There's like a really good saying. I can't remember it. But it is crazy. Like, when war comes, we have all this money, you know, to put up for a war. But when we actually want to spend money on like people that need it. And here's the thing, we were talking about capitalism on the way to the mall today. And just like, God, we're looking at a new car. A used car here is like $30,000, you know?
Yeah.
$30,000. I remember when that was a brand new car. And I'm just thinking, holy sh, you know, like, how are families going to survive? When my kids, we have five kids, my husband and I, all of our kids together, both biological for both of us, when they reach the age of 19, I don't think this economy is going to support them being able to go onto their own. They're going to be living with us for quite a while. When I was 19, I had a job that I could, and I did, I made a little bit more than a minimum wage. My school was paid for with scholarships. I was able to live on my own, pay for my car, pay for my rent. You know, I just don't see that for our young people. And it is getting worse and worse. I mean, if my husband and I didn't both work, you know, a two income family is like, except for the people that are super rich and can throw all this money around. I mean, the fact that our schools don't have enough money to pay teachers a good salary and to pay just the minimum of what it would take to help every student graduate from high school. I mean, we should feel like failures because of that. But you're right. Here we have, you know, legislation to create this massive new, you know, help me here, stadium. I lose my words. Okay,
it's a new stadium for the Royals, and it's renovations for the Chiefs. Yeah.
And it's not needed. You're right. It's not necessary. Nobody's life is on the line if that doesn't happen. And here today, when we're walking on downtown Anchorage, there's human feces on the sidewalk. And my kids are like, And here's what I'm thinking, though. The homeless people, there's no place that says, hey, homeless person, come take a shit in here. We don't mind. You know, they're going to take a crap on the sidewalk because we're not doing anything to support them. We are a complete red state, you know. we frown upon homeless people, but it's not like they're, nobody welcomes them and says, hey, it's okay to use the restroom in here. Of course we're going to see crap on the sidewalk. I mean, that's the world that we're living in, you know? Yeah.
Well, to stick with the Chiefs side of things, I don't know if you saw this. So this is the second year the NFL has ever, well, the NFLPA, the NFL Players Association, has done this. So the NFLPA started this last year where they did a report card. It's a report card for all 32 teams, and they grade you on so many different things, such as travel. What is team travel like? What is the weight room like? What is the locker room like? The food in the cafeteria in your complex, the head coach, the owner, and the players are the ones grading, doing the grades on this. And I don't remember the response rate from how many players were willing to fill out these surveys, these grades. But I do recall it was a very good amount. So there are a lot of players that were willing to fill out these grades. The Chiefs graded very poorly last year. They were even worse this year, Melody. So let me pull it up for you. Yes, you are the teacher here. So you you are going to get to give me your evaluation on this, if I can pull it up, that is. Here we go.
Let's see this.
Okay. Can you see that? Or is it too small?
No. Oh my gosh.
No, wait, no what? No, it's too small, or no, you can't see it? What are you saying no to?
I can see it. I mean, okay. I know I'm old, Farzine, but damn, I can see it. Holy crap.
Okay.
Treatment of families D+.
Okay, hold on. Let's go through these one at a time. Here's the one I want to start with because we were talking about ownership and spending.
Look at F-.
Okay, hold on.
What is under F?
Hold on. I did not know. I assumed that if you had a 59% or below, it was just F. No F plus, no F minus, nothing. I thought it was just F. So if your owner received an F minus, holy shit. And by the way, here's the ironic part about all of this. This grade came out the same day Clark Hunt announced he wants $500 million from Jackson County taxpayers. So this was not a good day for whichever day it was when all of this came out. And he was asked about this. Let me just say this about the Chiefs from my experience dealing with their PR staff. I'm sure a lot of teams do this, but the Chiefs do a very good job of protecting the coach, the players, and the owner whenever he speaks, which is not very often, and trying to prepare them for potentially tough questions. The Clark Hunt met with the media after his speech on the renovations, and at the same time he was giving this speech, the report card came out. So the PR staff was not able to prepare him for any of this. So when he got hit with all these questions about getting an F minus, he looked, he wasn't pissed off or angry at the reporters, but he was very uncomfortable. You can tell this was not, he was out of his comfort zone. And
I'm out of my comfort zone. I thought the Clark family was beloved.
Listen, I have not heard anything terrible about them publicly. I know Brian Waters once, whenever Herm Edwards was fired, understand the situation at hand, back in 2009. Yeah.
We got it. You know, for people on the podcast, hold on, Farzine. For people that are listening, they don't see this report card.
Oh,
so
yes.
We
good
need to
call.
Go through the. Yeah, so I'll say it since I'm the teacher and you have all the commentary. Treatment of families, D+, 18th out of 32 in the lead. Food cafeteria, C-, 26. Nutritionist, dietitian, F, 31st. Locker room, F, 28th. Training room, D, 31st. Training staff, F, 32nd. That means the last. Weight room, C+, 23rd. Strength coaches, C+, 27th. Team travel, D, that's the 27th rank. Head coach, A+, 1st. Yay. Ownership, guys, F-, last in the league.
Dang. So, okay, by the way, I want to clarify something because a lot of people are asking this. They renovated the Arrowhead Stadium locker room about a year and a half ago or maybe 2 years ago. The locker room that they're grading is not the stadium locker room. This is the practice facility locker room. The stadium locker room, they only use those on game days. The practice facility, that is the one they use 5-6 times a week. So I'm sure they're grading that locker room. As far as like ownership, Brian Waters, whenever Herm Edwards was fired, Brian Waters, who was an all pro for the Chiefs, he said that Clark Hunt is a good businessman, but not a good football person. That's the only player I've ever, and he was employed with the Chiefs at the time. That's the only time I've ever heard a player say anything negative about Clark Hunt. Now, Chris Jones, whenever he got his 5-year deal and became the highest paid player in NFL history at his position, he actually went on Twitter and said Clark Hunt A+, which I got a kick out of. Okay, we obviously covered ownership pretty well, but looking at the rest of this, like, what is your reaction as a teacher seeing these grades?
I am really surprised. And honestly, if I were being graded, if they were like classroom management, D+, relationships, what is it? Family, like, if I were getting these grades as a teacher, I would be on a plan of getting out. Like, they would be trying to fire me, you know? And if I didn't, you know, if I didn't have any sort of, I mean, I would be gone. I wouldn't last, you know. This is terrible, especially for a team that is a championship team twice, you know, in a row, 3 times out of 4 years. I'm super sorry to see this. Like, I'm really sad.
Hold on. You raise a good point. Like, if we're winning championships and we have like the 30, by the way, I should tell you this. Overall, we rank second worst in the NFL. I don't know who was worse. I think it was Washington. So if we're like the second worst graded team, and I think we were the second worst 2 years in a row, what does that say about all the other teams if we're winning championships?
They're not winning championships, but it looks like, I mean, I would actually like to see their report card. I mean, maybe they're not winning, but they're not winning championships, but they're winning their players.
You know what?
I mean, this is treatment of families. This is terrible.
Here's the one that surprised me. Okay, I'll get into treatment of families in a moment, because I think I know why that is the way it is.
There's a comment, Bob Green. He's saying that all owners are like this, and maybe they are, but he's the last. Like, our ownership right here, Clark Hunt, that family, 32nd. So ranked out of the entire league, we're still last, even if that means that all the other owners are crap too.
Look at training staff. That is F. That is the worst in the NFL. This one surprised me because, Rick Burkholder. He is, there's a lot of great things about Rick that people say publicly about him. So I am extremely shocked 2 years in a row that Rick Burkholder has the worst grade in the NFL. Remember when Patrick Mahomes hurt his ankle? And then Julie Freimeyer, who she's part of the Chiefs training staff, she got a lot of credit. Did you watch the quarterback series on Netflix, Melody?
Yes.
Okay, yep, I sure did. She got a lot of praise on that show as well. And I remember the same week, Gracie Hunt, who was the daughter of Clark Hunt, she went on Fox News the same week and was praising Julie Freimeyer. So when you're, I mean, I don't know what Gracie Hunt does for the team. I mean, I know she was Miss Kansas and all that stuff. But when you have someone from the family ownership going on cable news TV saying, hey, our training staff is awesome, and both the owners and the training staff get an F, like, what's the disconnect with this? Let me just say this. These things do not impact me as a fan. These things do not impact you as a fan. But if the family's not getting treated right, if they don't like the weight room or the training room or the strength coaches or the way the team travels, that's probably going to make some of these players not want to come back. Now, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce.
That might be why That might be why we've lost people that we didn't expect to.
Listen, Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, Chris Jones, the team will do everything to make them feel like royalty. So I have a feeling these guys did not vote on this. Speaking of Patrick Mahomes, I want to go to treatment of families because I know you are making a big deal about this. I think I know why they got a D+ for this. So Albert Breer, and again, this is not anything I have confirmed. This is just what I've heard. Albert Breer was on the Rich Eisen show last year and was talking about how people were upset during the pandemic. Players were upset during the pandemic because, listen, you know how the pandemic was. We all need to do our part to reduce the spread. So we all need to wear a mask and do this and this. So during that season, families were not allowed access to certain places that they normally would. Well, they made exceptions for the superstars. In fact, if you ever look at pregame on the sidelines for these football games, they have like a VIP section for family members and for other people that might have like a VIP ticket. Brittany, so they have like a chained off area. Brittany has her own area. Like, she's by herself. No one else can be in that area. She gets her own, which I don't know why you need your own VIP section for pregame. I don't know if that plays a role in all of this, but I think, you know, whenever the superstars get all these like special treatment, and I'm sure George Brett got a lot of special treatment when he played for the Royals. I'm guessing that's what players are voting on. That's just all speculation on my end. But Albert Breer was talking about how during the pandemic, they made exceptions for Patrick Mahomes and his family, what they could and couldn't do.
Yeah. Okay. So we have a listener saying that it's the other players grading us this way. They're mad. Is it our players grading us?
No. So, you know, Kelsey Jones, Legarius Sneed, Trent McDuffie, they're grading the Chiefs. Hold on, let's just ask, because I've seen a lot of people online say this. Why would Patrick Mahomes be grading the weight room for the Jacksonville Jaguars? He has no idea what the weight room looks like there. So everyone is grading their own stuff. There's no way. Okay. Like, how does Tom Brady, I know Tom Brady doesn't play anymore, but how does Tom Brady know how we travel? Like, there's no way you're grading for other teams. Right.
And why would other players give Andy Reid an A+ if he's not their coach?
Yeah, exactly. So, that makes no sense. And that's
I am glad to see an A+ by his name, but yeah, the F-. That's and I gotta say, for Clark Hunt, man, I hope it hurts. Like, you know, Bob is saying white rich guys, slavery is still alive. I mean, capitalism is slavery. You know, there's got to be people at the top. There's got to be people at the way top, and there's got to be us, those of us in the middle class, you know, paying the way for everybody else. And just so
when you say you hope it hurts, I can tell you for a fact it did, because as I mentioned, he looked very uncomfortable when he was talking to reporters and he was being asked about it. Here's the other thing from my experience again with the Chiefs and their PR staff. I can tell you for a fact the organization is very, very, very sensitive when it comes to any kind of negative PR. So now, are they going to
make a change?
Yeah. Because here's the thing.
I hope it hurts in that regard. I want them to make a change. I'm sorry, but if like treatment of families is a D+, I mean, these are people, you know, our football players are, yeah, sure, they're multimillionaires. A lot of them are. But, you know, their families are the reason that they're able to play every week.
That is a very good point. Yeah. Because here's the thing, like I said, this doesn't impact us as fans, but we want our favorite players to be treated right.
It kind of does. Listen, I'm not proud of this. This kind of makes me sad. I mean, I just got a effing, you know, Super Bowl champion T-shirt today. Like, and I see this like,
wait, what? You got an effing what?
No, I got an effing. I was just, I didn't say the F word, but I got my T-shirt. Oh,
okay.
You know? So I'm like, it does hurt. This hurts. Like, I hate to see that my team is like this. I want them to be number one and all the, I want them to be winning because they have a winning community. You know how I'm a community builder. That's what I do. Like, that's part of my own business is building communities. Like, community to me is, you know, everything, you know, whether it's my own students in my school, you know, building community there. Cause if, you know, if that's foundational, because one day they're champions today, but that if there's a crack in that, it's just going to keep growing and growing. And that's what's going to keep us from being the champions again. You know?
Yeah.
So,
and I don't know if you follow any of the Hunt family on social media. Listen, you were talking earlier, like being able to just say, hey, we'll put down $300 million. If you look at their social media, they live a very luxurious life. Like, Gracie looks like she's always traveling. They're going to all these fancy restaurants and all these things. Like, being an owner must be nice. So I'm sure Clark Hunt got over it pretty quickly. The bad grade that is. So I don't know. I hope they care.
I see a couple of comments that I just want to address that. I think this is true. Bob says NFL is more powerful than the church. I believe it. It is my church. And then imagine life without NFL on Sunday. And I just, I could, if I had never been introduced to football, I could imagine it, you know? But for a season, and you know, honestly, if the season were like all year long, my heart could not take it. I could not have a football game.
Here's my thing, because I love football as much as you and anyone else, but because I do all of this, like podcasting, live streaming, whenever the season ends, I'm like, thank God. And obviously the past couple of weeks, as I just mentioned to you, have been insane. I have not had a weekend off in quite some time. So whenever it's the off season, I love to decompress on Sundays. I can't tell you how nice it really is. And plus the Chiefs have, I know it's only a few extra weeks, but still, when they are in the Super Bowl almost every year, the fact that, like, you know, their season ends in February, it's like, man, it just feels like I'm ready for the season to end, honestly, at some point. I hope they three-peat, and then I hope the year after that, I hope we're one and done in the playoffs. Because if we don't win the Super Bowl after we three-peat, like, who gives a shit? We just did something that's never been done before.
Wait, the Cowboys didn't win three times in a row?
No, no one ever has. I think the Patriots were very close. But no one ever has.
I thought the Cowboys had in the 90s. There was just two times.
Maybe the Cowboys went 3 years in a row. The Buffalo Bills went to four straight Super Bowls and they lost all of them.
Okay, maybe that's what I'm thinking. I was going to say, I knew that somebody had gone, multiple times. Man, to be a Bills fan. And I have friends that are Bills fans. Like,
especially now when, like, the Chiefs always it's funny because Bills fans always brag about beating Mahomes in the regular season. It's like, yeah, but you can literally not beat him in the playoffs.
Yeah. It's gotta suck.
I do have to ask your opinion about Tyreek Hill, because I think a year ago we did a podcast. Tyreek Hill had sort of incident about something on a boat, allegedly assaulting someone. Do you remember that? So Tyreek Hill has had a couple of incidents come up this offseason. Now, as we know, he was accused of choking and attacking his pregnant girlfriend at the time in college. But I think there have been some questions about whether or not that really happened.
I'm sure it happened.
Well, here's the thing. In 2019, the audio came out, and Tyreek Hill accused her of lying, not knowing he was recorded, and she didn't fight back on that. So I think there are some question marks as to what happened in 2014.
This guy, I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt, because we're always shitting on Tyreek. Seriously, you and I are. We're always like, oh, Tyreek. But here's the thing. I looked it up. He's got a freaking history. A history of domestic violence.
Let me
I'm gonna believe the woman.
Let me just put all of this out there. So 2014, he had the he was accused of choking his pregnant girlfriend at the time. 2019, he was accused of abusing his son, physical abuse, that is. And then he had the incident last year on a boat with some guy, and his agent was supposedly with him.
He smacked him.
This year, a woman got injured doing backyard football drills in his backyard, and she's accusing him of abuse of some sort. And then this came out today. Apparently police showed up to Tyreek Hill's residence, and there was some sort of domestic dispute between him and his wife. Now, no judgment from me, but for those who don't know, Tyreek Hill had three different kids last offseason with different women. And the person he's married to is not the mother of any of those kids. So I don't know what's going on in that realm. That's personal, and that's really none of my business. That's none of our businesses. But I will say this. Look, innocent until proven guilty. You have to wait for the evidence to come out. Because the child abuse allegation, he was framed for that one. There were a lot of things that came out afterwards where it's like, wait a minute, this doesn't add up. But why does he always find himself in this situation? Like, this is not an accident.
Okay, you're saying, why does he always find himself in the situations? I'm like, why is he always proven innocent? To me, you've got a history of all this crazy stuff. Like, something's wrong. How many times has he had to go on to anger management? He's gone more than once to anger management in the last decade, you know? Like, and now he's saying, you know, he's not... He's going back to his roots, that his grandparents raised him. He's going back to God and all of that. Listen, guy, I hope he really does, because this is typical of what a lot of men do and what a lot of men say. And, you know, time will tell if he's really changing, because people are like, you know, he's had a really rough year so far this year. and a lot of people have had rough years, whatever. But like, I hope that he's being honest when he says he's going to go back to God. But he sounds like, you know, just somebody that has benefited because he's a great football player. He has benefited because he is always getting off of these things that he may or may not be doing. But I bet he's doing stuff, you know. You're not going to have this much violence following you if you were not, I mean, if you were innocent.
What is that noise? That sounds like a can of some sort. Is that your end?
I don't know. I did go like that, if that was it.
Hold on.
I don't hear anything.
It sounds like a can, like someone's scratching a can. Because I'm muting myself.
Bob,
look.
Do you hear the can?
I have headphones. I don't know how. If I think you have headphones too, but I don't know. Anyway, that was a weird. Okay, we'll just move on. I just want to acknowledge to our listeners. I hear it, so maybe you'll hear it if you do listen back to the podcast.
Bob does not hear it.
So okay, maybe I'm just fucking. It's
know.
On your end, Melody. I muted myself. It's on your end. See, the noise is gone. You just muted yourself. The noise is gone. Unmute yourself.
I did. He says it's too many gummies, Bob. I haven't had any gummies today, so
okay. Let's get back to the subject. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't crazy. I'm like, what is that sound? Anyway, you know. The whole thing, like the child abuse allegation, I thought he was like guilty and did it. But then there were a lot of other facts that came out where it was like, okay, wait a minute. Something does not add up with this whole case here. And listen, something happened to the child, but the district attorney said he could not figure out who to blame it on. And so as a result, he let the case go. Is it because that he is an NFL player, a great NFL player? I don't know. Here's what I do know is if he continues to be involved in all of these things right here, something bad is going to happen. And not just that, it'll be caught on film and you can't do the whole, oh, wait for all the facts to come out. I'm not saying I hope it happens, but dude, let me just, if I could offer any kind of advice to Tyreek Hill, not that I'm anyone important to him, but just put yourself around smart people. When you are constantly putting yourself around bad people, this is what happened. Listen, I don't know why him and his ex felt the need to stay together for so long, because they had a very tumultuous past and a lot of drama that just came out, leaked out to the public. Obviously, that was not a very healthy relationship. Why did you feel the need to stay with this person for so long? I mean, there are a lot of people in relationships who force the relationship. I mean, the couple, they force the relationship to stick because I don't know. I mean, who knows why? Okay.
I know why. And Bob knows why.
Well,
Money.
But it's like, you've got to. I just saw what you wrote. You gotta be better than that. You gotta surround yourself by good people. And listen, Tyreek Hill's a phenomenal athlete. Like, this guy, people have talked about him, comparing him to Usain Bolt. Okay, that's how gifted of an athlete you are. Don't ruin that when you've got so much going for you.
Right. He's on the you know, brink of people remembering him for all this bullshit instead of his actual playing skills, you know. And who wants to be on a team with somebody that's constantly being charged with domestic violence? I don't know. Like, I'm tired of these men that are doing this kind of stuff, getting off of, you know, of getting free of charge, getting off. I'm sure they get off in a lot of ways, but anyway, I didn't mean like that. I'm sorry. I mean, but God, just because they're great at freaking throwing a ball. And so they don't have to answer to the stuff that they do to other people. Listen, this lady broke her leg in his backyard because he like hit her violently. She said, like, that's crazy. You know, I hope that he really goes back to God, if that will help him. And again, when people say this kind of stuff, it's the long game that says it. And I don't want to judge him. Sometimes I'm like, we're too hard on Tyreek because we say stuff, but nobody said he was intelligent. But it is, you know what? I'm going to say, Farzine, you are who you hang around with. So he would do well to hang around with people that are good people so that it might rub off on him too.
Look,
and he might be good people. I don't know.
In high school, I didn't have a lot of friends in high school. I really didn't. And I remember there was one kid who I was friends with, one of the very few friends I had. He was constantly getting in trouble, like legal trouble. And I remember after graduation, and obviously, you know, when you graduate high school, you know, you take that next step, you're making that transition to becoming an adult and all that, you have a lot more responsibilities. And I'm thinking to myself, if I keep hanging around this guy, even if I'm not doing anything wrong, if I'm a bystander, if I'm just there, I will be guilty by association.
Right.
That is a thing. So what did I do? I cut that guy off from my life completely. Now, I don't know what's going on with his whereabouts and all that. I hope he's doing well. I hope he's improved, but I can't afford to put myself in that same spot. I mean, I just can't. You're so terrible. No, I really can't. I mean, you've got to look out for yourself, because if you don't look out for yourself, who will?
Right. You made a decision that was, you know, pretty mature for young men, and that they don't always see that. And I tell my own kids, again, my husband and I have 5 kids, and I'm like, listen, not everybody makes it out of childhood. Not everybody makes it out of their teen years. Yes, we do stupid things, but not everybody gets to have a second chance or a third chance. But it does drive me crazy when people, you know, they don't have to answer to any consequence, you know, because they're great at a sport. That does drive me crazy. And as a woman, you know, even more so. So that's my 2 cents.
Yeah. Was there anything else you wanted to talk about on this podcast? I know we just surpassed the 1 hour mark, but I wasn't sure if there was anything you had on the docket you wanted to
talk about. I just want to go on record and say that I hate daylight savings. I'm so sick of it. Why are we still doing this? Also, do we believe that Kate Middleton is okay? I don't know.
Okay, like, I don't know what is going on with that. I don't know all the details. What's happening?
Yeah, so they haven't seen her since like before Christmas. And you know, all the rumors are coming out that Prince William is having an affair with her ex-best friend, neighbor, Rose Hannaberry or some sort. And so all of this has been coming out. And then she had this emergency abdominal surgery in January. But the crazy thing is that Prince William only visited her once during this hospital stay. Her kids never saw her. They say it was a planned surgery, but an ambulance took her to this. And then there's been a couple of photos that is Kate, but they never see her face clearly. Like one shot, she's like this. And another one, it's from a distance. It looks like she's with her mom in a car, but nobody really knows. And then that doctored photo, I was like, who cares about the doctored photo? But I guess now, you know, the British royalty, they have an agreement like with the press, the British press. And they like have not followed through with their agreement. So now the British press is actually going after the royalty, just like all the other tabloids are. Like now they're like, where's Kate? So now even the British press is questioning, is that really Kate? What is happening to Kate? And yeah. And those doctored photos, I can't remember why it was so, because the way that they have it is so weird. Like who cares about her zipper or the hand? It's just the fact that they didn't give the press an actual real photo, and that was part of the agreement. So yeah, Bob says the English are not normal, and I totally agree. And a lot of people are speculating, like if this goes down, if Kate goes down like Princess Diana, like if this falls apart, they feel like this might be the end of the monarchy, which I think should be, you know, like why do we treat these people? I'm just going like, cause I'm not a one percenter. So now I'm just being bitter. So I'm going to shut up here, but it is crazy how we elevate people, right? Cause they're human just like us.
Yeah. I'm still trying to learn the story. And I'm also trying to like make myself care. I know I sound terrible, but I'm just like, like,
I know I didn't care either, but then I started like, I went down the rabbit hole of, I was like, who cares about this doctored photo?
I mean,
then that's when I was like, ooh, they haven't seen her.
I hope she's okay. Like, I'm not a horrible human being. Like she's a human being. I hope she's okay. But I don't know. This is really weird for someone to like, here's my thing. Like, when did people start to notice? Like, did they wait for like the 30-day mark or what?
Oh, they didn't. Nobody said happy birthday to her for her birthday in January. Like they've been noticing. Listen, the British royalty is like an everyday saga, you know, in the UK. Like people want to know. But they're, you know, I mean, don't their tax money? I'm not sure, but I think their tax money like helps pay for it.
I feel like this is Kansas City's version of Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce.
No, no.
Because everyone's like,
they're so much better. Oh my God. Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift are so much better than royalty. And, you know, and no. Don't do that. Don't dirty it.
Because they were like in Australia at the zoo and they had like a helicopter following them. I'm like, man, you know your team is the shit when an Australian media outlet has a helicopter following that your player at an Australian zoo. That's how crazy it's gotten.
I would not like to live that life.
I'll
live in my little dump in Anchorage.
When is when is your last day of school? When does school end for you?
I think it ends in like the third week of May. So I have like 2 months left. We're at quarter four. For all the teachers, if there's a teacher listening, listen, y'all, we're almost to the end. You can do it. Okay.
This is the final push.
Yes. I'm so excited. I think that's why I'm ready to go back. Let's do the end.
Okay. I was going to ask you this at the beginning, but we just, you know, the show started and we just like got off topic and all. What is the first day of spring break, or maybe not even the first day of spring break, maybe as soon as like class gets out? What is a teacher doing the moment spring break starts?
Well, like I slept. Listen, I was trash last weekend because Friday was the last day for me. I had to go back even though the kids didn't. I was trash last weekend. I was so tired and I don't sleep in really late, but like I'll sleep into 8 or 9 in the morning. To me, that's kind of late because I usually get up a little bit before 5 in the morning. Just naturally, I just wake up. But I needed sleep and I needed to do nothing. Like I almost brought work home, some stuff that, you know, some ed tech stuff that I was going to work on. I'm like, you know what? No, I don't even want to pretend like I'm actually going to give that any type of attention. I'm going to totally give myself attention. I'm giving my family attention. I'm going to read. I read a 765 page book in less than 24 hours. I mean, like I had a wonderful do nothing staycation spring break. We were totally broke right now. We couldn't fly anywhere and that was fine because sometimes going on trips is very stressful, especially for moms. So yeah. Yes, school. This is what Bob says. School teachers rock. So important for survival. Too many uneducated people walking around already. Agreed. And a lot of them are voting for you know who. Ugh. And I'm going to tell you guys, thank you, Bob. You're welcome. Listen, I'm going to tell you guys, our democracy is at stake. Take this voting seriously. I don't want a dictator as a president.
Listen, my options are two old dudes, very old dudes.
So, yep. And one of them's taking care of business and he at least cares about, you know, human decency. He's not celebrating dictators. Yeah.
Okay. I can agree with the human decency part, but I don't know about taking care of business. I don't know.
He's taking care of, listen, do I wish that we had better candidates? Yes. But we don't.
Hold on.
Why are we stuck with these two again? This is the world that we're living in.
I told Melody, like, when we do this podcast, let's not talk politics, but you know what? Let's do it. Melody, this is Bidenomics, okay? This is how much I paid for gas today.
Why is Biden responsible for gas?
Okay, here's how this works.
I'm pretty sure that it's not the president running. Isn't it the oil companies?
Hold on. Here's how this works, okay? Remember, like, 2 years ago when gas prices were insanely high? Okay? Democrats defended Biden and Republicans blamed Biden. But when gas prices were going down, Democrats credited Biden for it. And Republicans said Biden's not the reason for it. See how funny that works?
I don't give a shit about, like, gas prices suck. I blame the oil companies. I never blame the president for oil prices. I'm pretty sure. And maybe I'm dumb. But I thought it was up to the oil companies and, like, supply and demand and all that shit. I've never, even though I don't like you know who and I'm not going to say his name, I've never blamed him for gas prices.
Okay, at least you're being consistent then, because some people are not consistent with their.
I am tired of capitalism.
Other thing I forgot to bring up: it is March Madness. It's in the title of the show, and we KU is not going. KU is not going very far, unfortunately. Who's Bob? You're a Mizzou guy. Is Mizzou in it? I have not paid attention to college basketball at all this year. Melody, do you do a bracket?
I don't do a bracket. I just like my teams. Why do I have to like invest in them? I have five kids. Do I have time to invest into basketball teams? No.
People are so surprised about me when they learn this about me.
I know that you don't do fantasy football. I was surprised.
Oh yeah, Mizzou was like winless in their conference. Yeah, did K-State make it? But yes, I don't do fantasy football. I don't do brackets. I do bet on sports.
March is mad even without the basketball. I want you to know this, Farzine. I'm actually a decent ball player, a basketball player. I can make half court shots. Like I could probably make 3 out of 10 half court shots. Can you say that?
I can make half court shots. We need to hit a gym at some point so I can prove that to you.
I need to practice then because my son is impressed with my basketball skills and I'm like this old white fat woman. So, I mean, like I have some skills still.
Hold on, yeah. Bob, what number is K-State? I can't find them because I think there was concern as to whether or not K-State would get in. Iowa State won the Big 12 somehow.
That's crazy. Those idiots out walking around.
K-State's in? I don't see it. Then again, it's a very big bracket, so it's easy to miss. By the way, I love how like some of these schools I've never heard of, but they just sound interesting, like Grand Canyon. I mean, Grambling/Montana State.
But not Grambling. That's different.
No. Where's Kansas State? I'm trying to look for Kansas State. Remember Norfolk State? They beat Mizzou when Mizzou was the number 2 seed. And I think the Kansas City Star had a headline. Or no, it wasn't the Kansas City Star. It was a different media outlet. Norfolk and Way. I'm like, that's creative. That's creative.
I think it's so weird that they're seeds. And I think that this is a man-dominated, you know, obviously it's man-dominated. And we keep talking about seed. That's all I'm saying. Like, it makes me feel weird. Always talking about the seeds. But...
I don't know. Wait, Bob, they didn't make it because I'm reading a headline that says K-State's men's basketball accepts NIT bid. So they didn't make the NCAA tournament. Damn, because I think they were like on the bubble. I don't know. Listen, I heard this was actually like a somewhat exciting year for college basketball. Do you ever watch women's college basketball, Melody? I know you're busy with like 10 billion things.
I love watching basketball in person. Like where the Chiefs do their spring training at Missouri Western. Mm-hmm. Like I grew up going to all their games, women's games, men's games. I love watching it in person, but I cannot stand watching basketball on television. I don't know why. It's weird.
Because women's college basketball has been gaining a lot of attention over the last 12 months. And Caitlin Clark is a huge reason for it. Yeah.
That's amazing. Is she the one that got knocked down?
Yeah, she was the one who got knocked down. She's okay, though. She's also a Chiefs fan. I don't know if I ever told you that. So, you know, you kind of have to pull for her. But, yeah, hopefully.
I'm pulling for her because she's a badass woman.
Yeah, she is actually a badass. Listen, the incident where, like, the LSU girl was taunting her when she was doing the ring. I didn't even think it was that bad. Listen, athletes actually say mean things to each other sometimes. If you ever turn off the volume on your TV, you hear a lot of shit talk and like terrible things that get said.
Listen, I went to one of my seventh graders hockey game on Friday, I think it was. And I saw this, like, he's the tallest player on the rink, like on the ice. He is the tallest player. And I saw this like kid that's a head shorter than him tap him on the butt with his hockey stick. And I saw my student say something to him and I was cracking up. And so he's also good, like best friends with my son. So we all did something afterwards and I was asking him, well, what did you say to that kid that hit you on the butt with the stick? And he's like, he said, next time you better do it harder. Like,
that is hilarious.
You're right. They do talk shit. I knew he was talking shit.
On that note, we're going to get out of here. Melody, real quickly, how can people catch any of your content?
Yeah, guys, if you want to follow me, I am at, can I put my link on here?
It's Facebook.com. Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll put it in here, facebook.com/MJ McCallie Writes. I probably should make it more simple. But yeah, and you can, if you Google Melody McCallister, I'll be the first Melody McCallister to pop up. You can follow me on TikTok, Instagram, any of those things. And I appreciate it if you do. But okay. Thanks, Farzine, for having me on. I always love talking with you.
Awesome. I appreciate you coming on.
Bob stayed strong with us the whole time.
Yes. Shout out to Bob. I will be doing a Chief Zone podcast tomorrow. It will be the last podcast I do for a couple of weeks. So I'm going to take a break from the podcast. So trying to chillax and trying to enjoy the off season. So I'm kind of semi hoping the Chiefs don't do anything big over the next couple of weeks. Other than that, I will talk to you all later. Appreciate it. Everyone have a great night. Take care. Enjoy your spring.